The New Strong-Willed Child by Dr. James Dobson, and I'm John Fuller. Chapter 1, The Wild and Woolly Will. At one time, the Dobson household consisted of a mother and a father, a boy and a girl, one hamster, one parakeet, one lonely goldfish, and two hopelessly neurotic cats. We all lived together in relative harmony with a minimum of conflict and strife. But there was another member of our family who was less congenial and cooperative. He was a stubborn 12-pound dachshund named Sigmund Freud, Siggy, who honestly believed that he owned the place. All dachshunds tend to be independent, I'm told, but Siggy was a confirmed revolutionary. He was not vicious or mean, he just wanted to run things, and the two of us engaged in a power struggle throughout his lifetime. Siggy was not only stubborn, but he wouldn't pull his own weight in the family. He wouldn't bring in the newspaper on cold mornings. He refused to chase a ball for the children. He didn't keep the gophers out of the garden, and he didn't do any of the usual tricks that most cultured dogs perform. Alas, Siggy refused to engage in any of the self-improvement programs that I initiated on his behalf. He was content just to trot through life, watering and sniffing and barking at everything that moved. Sigmund was not even a good watchdog. This fact was confirmed the night we were visited by a prowler who entered our backyard at 3 a.m. I suddenly awoke from a deep sleep, got out of bed, and felt my way through the house without turning on the lights. I knew someone was on the patio, and Siggy knew it too, because the coward was crouched behind me. After listening to the thumping of my heart for a few minutes, I reached out to take hold of the rear doorknob. At that moment, the backyard gate quietly opened and closed. Someone had been standing 3 feet from me, and that someone was now tinkering in my garage. Siggy and I held a little conversation in the darkness and decided that he should be the one to investigate the disturbance. I opened the back door and ordered my dog to attack, but Siggy had just had one. He stood there throbbing and shaking so badly that I couldn't even push him out of the back door. In the noise and confusion that ensued, the intruder escaped, which pleased both dog and man. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Siggy was a member of our family, and we loved him dearly. And despite his anarchistic nature, I did finally teach him to obey a few simple commands. However, we had some classic battles before he reluctantly yielded to my authority. The greatest confrontation occurred when I had been in Miami for a 3-day conference. I returned to observe that Siggy had become boss of the house while I was gone. But I didn't realize until later that evening just how strongly he felt about his new position as captain. At 11 o'clock that night, I told Siggy to go get into his bed, which was a permanent enclosure in the family room. For 6 years, I'd given him that order at the end of each day, and for 6 years, Siggy had obeyed. On that occasion, however, he had refused to budge. He was in the bathroom, seated comfortably on the furry lid of the toilet seat. That was his favorite spot in the house, because it allowed him to bask in the warmth of a nearby electric heater. Incidentally, Siggy had to learn the hard way that it was extremely important that the lid be down before he left the ground. I'll never forget the night he learned that lesson. He came thundering in from the cold and sailed through the air and nearly drowned before I could get him out. On the night of our great battle, I told Sigmund to leave his warm seat and go to bed. Instead, he flattened his ears and slowly turned his head toward me. He braced himself by placing one paw on the edge of the furry lid, then hunched his shoulders, raised his lips to reveal the molars on both sides, and uttered his most threatening growl. That was Siggy's way of saying, "Get lost." I had seen this defiant mood before and knew that I had to deal with it. The only way to make Siggy obey was to threaten him with destruction. Nothing else worked. I turned and went to my closet and got a small belt to help me reason with old Sig. My wife, who was watching this drama unfold, told me that as soon as I left the room, Siggy jumped from his perch and looked down the hall to see where I had gone. Then he got behind her and growled. When I returned, I held up the belt and again told the angry dog to get into his bed. He stood his ground, so I gave him a firm swat across the rear end, and he tried to bite the belt. I popped him again, and he tried to bite me. What developed next is impossible to describe. That tiny dog and I had the most vicious fight ever staged between man and beast. I fought him up one wall and down the other, with both of us scratching and clawing and growling.